So have you already heard the action begins in a cemetery? And right off, we know that it will be an unusual story because typically not much happens in cemeteries. People gather to put a body in the ground. We've done a little too much of that here at Spirit of Joy in these past few months. Or people go to a cemetery to remember or honor someone who has died, perhaps even to talk with the deceased, as strange as that may seem. I vividly remember the sweltering July day when we laid my mom to rest at Oak Hill Cemetery in the southern edge of Minneapolis. And when I've gone back there, it's made sense to sit in the grass by her grave, near her stone, and give her an update on what she's missed and how we've missed her. Matthew tells us that Mary and Mary went back to Jesus' tomb, to Jesus' grave, to see the tomb. It's one of the details where Matthew gets different from the others. There's no word in Matthew about the women anointing the body. It says they simply go back to see the tomb. They had seen the tomb. They saw Joseph of Arimathea take Jesus' wrapped body and lay it in the tomb, and perhaps are just going back on the morning after the Sabbath to check and see if the brutal nightmare of Friday really was true, if it really had happened. Or perhaps they wanted to get close to Jesus, and the only way left available to him, to them, which was to come near his dead body. As they are coming near, the ground shakes, the quiet dawn, the bird singing is interrupted by a holy intrusion by a messenger from God. Governor Pontius Pilate had given strict orders to both secure the tomb and guard it, and his orders were followed to a T. But the security measures proved no match for the messenger's mission, no match for the earth-shaking joy the angel brings. His appearance was like lightning, visible joy radiating from him. Joy arrived in an earthquake, joy that will shock the first witnesses, joy that will change the future of the planet. And then in this lovely detail, the angel plops down on the stone itself to watch what unfolds next. A slight smile creases his brilliant face, knowing what's ahead. The joy of the giver anticipates the joy of the receivers. When I was growing up, my dad prepared elaborate surprises for my mom on their special anniversaries. He would provide her with clues about what was coming, but she never could quite guess what was ahead. One year, she received a city bus pass, which enabled them to take a bus to the airport, and then a plane flight to a surprise destination, and then a brand new adventure. My dad's joy in the giving was at least equal to my mom's joy in the receiving as she realized what was happening. And so Easter joy comes first to the angel perched on the tombstone. The characters who miss it all, who miss the radiating, unfolding joy on the first Easter, were the security team. Their assignment was to keep the tomb sealed shut at Pilate's orders. It was to make sure that the politicians and the priests maintained their grip on things, on the order. Their job was to maintain the status quo by keeping Jesus' dead body exactly where it lay. And so when all heaven breaks loose, ironically, they're the ones who become like dead men as Jesus' body rises to life. Life conquers death at the very tomb they're guarding, and they're the ones who become the corpses in the story. They might know they're good as dead for failing to carry out their orders. Also, what happens at Jesus' tomb threatens anyone or any institution that depends on the story staying the same. I mean, if you can't count on the dead staying dead, what in this world can you count on? If you can't trust that having a bigger sword or a bigger army or a bigger arsenal or better ways of torture or more votes will guarantee you power over your opponents or your enemies, what can you trust? The guards may have shook like dead men because they feared their immediate future. But know that the resurrection puts all powers on notice, that those who trust in death, those who trust in those who destroy life, will not win the day. One of my favorite Easter stories took place during the darkest days of apartheid in South Africa. The government tried to shut down the opposition by canceling a political rally. So Archbishop Desmond Tutu said, we'll have a church service instead. We're not going to call it a rally, we're going to call it, and it was a worship service. St. George's Cathedral in Cape Town was filled with worshipers, and outside the walls, outside the doors of the cathedral, hundreds of police gathered, a show of force to intimidate those who might come inside. As Tutu was preaching, the security team came in the doors and lined the sanctuary, stood with their weapons ready, and then pulled out notebooks and began to write down everything the Archbishop said. But Archbishop Tutu would not be intimidated. He preached against the evils of apartheid. He declared that it could not endure. And at one extraordinary point in the message, he addressed all the security guards, the police directly. He said to them, you are powerful. You are very powerful. But you are not gods. And I serve a God who cannot be mocked. And so since you've already lost, I invite you today to come and join the winning side. And with that, the whole congregation erupted in dance and song. The police didn't know what to do. Their attempts at intimidation had failed. They were overcome by the Archbishop's confidence that God and joy would triumph over evil. It was only a matter of time. Mary and Mary didn't go to the tomb expecting resurrection. They could barely have hoped that even death was subject to God's intervention in Jesus. But now the ground was shaking, the earth was shifting literally, and the angel of joy spelled it out for them. Do not be afraid. I know you've come to look for the body of Jesus. Of course that's why you're here, but he is not here. He has been raised to life just as he said. And now I've rolled back the stone, I've opened the tomb so that you might go in and see where they laid him, where he used to be. But that's in the past. Go tell his disciples, go tell them that he will meet you all in Galilee. And so they left the tomb quickly with fear and with great joy and ran to tell his disciples. It's a small detail, perhaps, but I think more evidence that the story is true. A fairy tale might say, and they left happily, excited to tell what happened, and they all lived happily ever after. Matthew says they left with fear and with great joy, which is where people with a little faith and people with a lot of faith live most of our days, right? With fear and with joy. Most of you know firsthand that the most joyful moments of your lives are also tinged with a bit of fear. I was so excited and so ready to leave home after graduating from high school, so ready to go to college. But when my parents pulled away from Moan Hall after dropping me off for freshman orientation week, I felt a little bit of fear at this brand new way of living that was unfolding in front of me. The day Catherine and I were married was one of the most joyful days in my life, but I couldn't help but wonder and fear a little about this big change. What would it mean? The same was true when our boys were born. What great days! How those days changed everything. And so we called our families with great joy, and if we were to be honest, a little fear about becoming parents of one and then two. The announcement of the angel to Mary and Mary changed everything. And so they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. Easter doesn't end all of our problems. We'll walk out of here this morning after celebrating the resurrection of our Lord, and there will still be headlines today and tomorrow and the next day about awful things that are happening around the world. Bombs still go off in churches. Famine stalk the vulnerable. Those with power use it to enrich themselves and oppress the powerless. Conflicts infect our families and our neighborhoods. Death separates us from loved ones. We cannot help be afraid, even as we sing, Christ the Lord is risen today. And yet great joy is ours too. Joy, Jürgen Moltmann writes, is the power to live, the power to love, to have creative initiative. We are created for joy. We are born for joy. We are made in God's image, which is one of joy. Still, the more deeply we experience enduring love and lasting joy, the more deeply we experience pain and sorrow. They are inseparable, but that will not stand. The earth has shook, he is risen, and so pain one day will be caught up and gathered into joy, despair into hope, temporal death into the joy of the resurrection. Those who join the revolt against those who destroy life will join the winning side. On the way to Galilee at the end of our gospel for today, Mary and Mary suddenly meet Jesus. He suddenly shows up. And in our translation of the story, Jesus says to them, greetings, which is a little lame, I think. It's a little bland, like, hey, how are you? A better translation of kairote is rejoice. Rejoice, the tomb is open. Rejoice, death has been destroyed. Rejoice, we are united, reunited in life. Rejoice that the joy of the Lord is greater than the suffering of this world. Rejoice. The cemetery is emptied. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Amen.